Recorded live from the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, this is the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Pelias Pecans.
Awesome!
The Soft Verbal Podcast, your ticket to the latest, most accurate Ole Miss football recruiting information. No spin, no false hopes, just facts from the recruiting trail from RebelGrove.com recruiting analyst Russell Johnson.
Caution, you are about to enter the no spin zone.
And now, here's your host, Neil McCready.
God, here we go again.
Welcome into another edition of the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. I'm Neil McCready. I'll be your host today on this particular program. Russell Johnson of Rivals.com, RebelGrove.com is also here as well. If you don't subscribe to RebelGrove.com and you're listening to this podcast, well, that's just kind of weird because that means you're really into recruiting, but you're not willing to spend an extra $8.64 to get all of the up-to-the-minute scoop on recruiting. And with Russell, it is literally up-to-the-minute as the season goes on. Visits happen. We get closer to the December signing period, closer to the November basketball signing period. Russell's on top of it. So you want to join RebelGrove.com. Plus, you get to be a part of one of the most eclectic, fascinating communities on earth. It's called The Grove. It's a message board that's interesting. It is interesting. It's also very entertaining, and it's also often quite informative. Speaking of people you want to be associated with, Billy's Pecans, people that you want to be associated with, their product is absolutely fantastic. It's billyspecans.com, B-I-L-L-I-E-S, pecans.com. They're based in Crenshaw, Mississippi. Stacy Bailey and the people there at Billy's Pecans are just fantastic. They run an absolute first-class organization. You're thinking about making it, you start to think about your Christmas gifts for clients, your corporate gifting. They'll take care of it, whether it's a corporate client, presents for your staff, tokens of goodwill for referral. From 5 to 5,000 orders, they'll handle it with expertise and excellence with their signature Southern style. And with items at every price point, you simply can't go wrong. They've got the assorted gift bags, the party trio, the pecans and chocolate. And then what they do is they'll customize your packaging with your company or organization's logo affixed as a sticker to their round boxes. So your brand is front of mind and their decadent flavors are there to back it up. And the flavors are indeed decadent. I'm just telling you, it's first class. It's one of those deals that when you get the product, you're like, oh yeah, this is the real thing. It's fantastic. I'm a huge fan. You should give it a shot. You will be too. Order some for yourself. Go to billyspecans.com. Try some of the assorted gift bags. Like I said, the cheese crispies are phenomenal. Award-winning coffee cakes, the cinnamon spice pecans, the plain toasted pecans. Got all sorts of varieties of chocolate pecans, pecan brittle, pecan toffee. It is the only thing that will hate it is your waistband. Your waistband will not like it. You might have to get on the Peloton and ride an extra 20 minutes, but you can do that. It's worth it. Great corporate gifting. So again, billyspecans.com, or you can call them at 1-800-624-7404. We're coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. Maybe you're looking for a previously owned vehicle. You got some specificity and you're doing some shopping. He'll send you a quote. He'll send you several quotes. He'll do it within 15 minutes in business hours. It's the way to do car shopping. Don't do all that haggling and stuff with the dealer where you spend 8 hours fighting over a price point that ultimately you're going to get to anyway. Just get right to the bottom line. With Corey, you'll get that quote. And not only will you get a quote, you'll get great service after the sale. You get delivery options. Corey wants to be your car guy. He wants to be your truck guy. He wants to become a one-stop shop for your automotive needs. You get a great product, all that stuff at Clark Ford. It's really good. You'll enjoy your car buying experience. We'll make it even better. Tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford on this podcast. It's called the Soft Verbal Podcast. You can also mention any of our other family of podcasts, and you'll save $500 on your already great deal at Clark Ford. in Amory. Again, that number 662-257-1900. Russell, how are you?
I'm doing good, doing good. I have to ask, since it became such a topic on the message board last night and then I got attacked for it on Twitter, do you tip on takeout?
Almost always.
Really?
Yes.
See, I was hoping you'd be with me on this.
No, I worked in the service industry in grad school, and it remarkably sort of changed. I'm an excellent tipper. If
really?
Anything, I overtip.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I've never understood it, and I actually used to work, you know, in carryout, but it never really crossed my mind.
Yeah, I will almost always tip on carryout. Just a couple dollars.
Wow.
Just a thing.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess people at these restaurants in Oxford probably think I'm just some stingy, poor young man.
The only way that I won't will be if they don't make it available to me, like when I always pay with plastic.
Right.
I don't typically carry cash. I have three kids in my house. Cash just disappears. It's just gone. Because there's always something, or someone's going to dinner with somebody, or someone's going to such and such, or the school needs $10, or it's cash just doesn't happen.
Right, that makes sense.
So in those situations, if I don't have cash, I mean, I can't make it.
That's true. Yeah, I guess that does make sense. If it's not available to you on that slip, it normally doesn't happen.
It usually probably won't happen. But otherwise, I'll tip a couple dollars.
I'll have to start rethinking my budget to include these tips.
I don't think it matters. I mean, I'm not one of the guys now, the only people I judge is if you sit at the bar and you order food and stuff and you don't tip. Like, when you stiff your server or bartender, I can't stand that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But no, I mean, there's some people that just don't think of it that way, and it's okay. There are worse things happening in the world, or so I'm told.
That is true. Good point.
All right. So we're going to talk. We're going to do mailbag in a minute. First, let's start with basketball. Let's start with hoops. Tennessee got a huge commitment as we taped this on Wednesday morning. I know you're going to ask me who, and I don't have his name in front of me.
Josiah James?
Yeah. The 5-star guard.
Yeah. I thought he was going to Clemson.
Well, so did Clemson. So did Duke. He's going to Tennessee.
Yeah.
Big pickup for Rick Barnes and Tennessee. Fascinating. Fascinating.
That is a very big get for them.
Huge.
Ole Miss had a pretty big visit weekend themselves. They had DJ Jeffries, Chandler Lawson, Jamin Brakefield, as well as Dude Collum, of course, was on campus as
right.
well.
So let's start with the one that's probably most likely to end up at Ole Miss, and that's Collum. What are you hearing?
I'm hearing that, you know, the visit went very well, and it seems to really have become more of a waiting game than it has been any type of speculation as to whether or not other schools are going to get their official visits that he had previously scheduled, or if he's going to, you know, make his commitment to Ole Miss. I would consider that more of a win, not if scenario currently.
Okay. I think I agree. I've been doing some radio in Memphis. It's led me to talk to some people in Memphis that I otherwise probably would not, just because of what I do, I wouldn't have had a lot of conversations.
Right.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Lawson, because when I first heard about Lawson visiting Ole Miss, my initial reaction was, it's just a courtesy trip.
Right. Yeah. You would think that, especially with his family and him both being so close to DJ Jeffries. The two were basically attached to the hip whenever I saw them in Oxford at the football game. So yeah, you could definitely say that.
But I don't think that's the case.
No.
I think Ole Miss is a real – I don't think they're the favorite right now. I don't know that there is a favorite right now.
Yeah, the favorite would be Kansas, but Kansas hasn't offered.
Right. And might not.
Right, and if they don't, then that's when Ole Miss becomes a serious player and could really see themselves ending up with both Lawson and Collum potentially.
When does Kansas have to make that decision? Here pretty quick, right?
You would think. I know Kansas got a commitment from a Rivals 150 kid earlier this week. I'm not exactly sure what position he was.
He's a guard.
But, okay. So, yeah, that really doesn't play a factor. It's going to come down to whether or not Kansas strikes out on their other remaining targets.
they rarely strike out on their targets. Although it could be a different landscape now because of, you know,
it
investigations
could be.
And FBI. And
then they also have the Lawsons on their side, so.
Yeah, but he's a one and done.
Yeah.
The one that's there right now. Which Lawson is there right now?
I thought the brothers transferred there.
Okay. Yeah, I can't keep up.
There's so much.
Basketball's nuts.
Yes, I agree with that. It really is.
Okay, what about DJ Jeffries? Because I thought for the longest he was Memphis bound.
Yeah.
Started hearing last week that it's Mississippi State. Heard that from a number of people at a number of different places that they think he's headed to Mississippi State. To your knowledge, how did the visit to Ole Miss go, and did anything change?
I wouldn't really say anything changed, not in terms of the order of his top three. I still would consider it Mississippi State number one, Memphis number two, and Ole Miss there at number three. An interesting thing I found out today was as Ole Miss went and saw him, I don't know if he was practicing or what, but they saw him today at Olive Branch. Alabama's still trying to do things as well, which, you know, with him publicly making that top three, Alabama must think that they still have some kind of shot. And if they have a shot, then Ole Miss has almost an equal shot, you know, both being Nike schools.
That's a lovely sweater you're wearing today. That is. It's very nice.
What color is it?
What color is that sweater? I'm having some color issues with as I get older.
It is green.
It's green. Sure is. It's a green sweater. That's very nice. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So
I like to admire fashion when I see it out loud, and I know that you applied some, you put some work into your wardrobe today. I just wanted to compliment you on your.
Oh yes.
The color of that sweater again.
It's green.
Green. Green. You said. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So Avery Johnson and Alabama seem to still think they have a shot with DJ Jeffries. And as that progresses and things go on with that, Ole Miss also has an official visitor coming in this weekend, which is four-star point guard Tyrell Jones, who officially visited Auburn last weekend.
And Auburn kind of thought they were going to get him to pull the trigger because they got another big commitment, and I think they thought Jones was going to commit too, and he did not.
No, he did not. He wants to take this visit, and he wants to kind of reassess things after that. My question to you is there an Under Armour pull as there is with Nike and Adidas?
You said pull, like P-U-L-L?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know whether you said pool, like P-O-O-L. I was going to say there is definitely a pool. I don't know how it all gets divvied, but there is one. A pull. I don't know, not like Adidas or Nike, but I think they're working on it.
Yeah, I mean, Auburn's really recruited well, at least since Bruce Pearl's gotten there.
Look, number one, he's a hell of a recruiter.
Yeah.
Number two, he's really good at it. Knows how to do it. And he is he's charismatic, Pearl is, and he's recruited everywhere he's ever been.
Yeah, and at one point it
all recruited at Cleveland State when he was there.
Really?
I'm sorry, Wisconsin-Milwaukee.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say.
Because actually, I saw Bruce Pearl. The first time I ever saw him coach a game was in Cleveland at the campus of Cleveland State.
The Wallstein Center.
Yeah, the Wallstein Center. They played Alabama in a first-round NCAA tournament game. And I stayed downtown at a hotel right on Lake Erie.
Oh, gosh.
And I walked from that hotel to the Wallstein Center, and it was cold.
Yeah. What did you expect?
No, I mean, I knew it was all good. I walked there for the practice the day before, and I did some stuff, and then I went to the stadium that I now refer to as Champions Stadium, where the Cubs won the World Series. Had I known at that moment that spot was where all of my sports dreams would come true, I probably would have taken more pictures and kissed the ground and things of that nature. I didn't know at the time. Anyway, I went back the next day and I walked yet again, and it was even colder. But I went to saw him coach the absolute pants off of Mark Gottfried.
Yeah,
and Cleveland State knocked Alabama out in the first round, and we had booked our ticket because, as you have to do, assuming that the team that you're covering will get to the second round, I had two extra days in Cleveland.
Oh, goodness.
It's fun.
What did you do to pass the time?
I drank at bars.
You didn't see a ball game or anything?
No. There was NCAA tournament was in town. It was March. The Indians weren't playing yet. And the Browns obviously weren't playing in March.
That is true.
So, I drank.
That sounds like a good way to spend 2 days. Now, getting back to these visitors. Jamin Brakefield, the 5-star 2020 kid, he visited as well officially last weekend. And he told me that he had a great time and that he wouldn't have wanted to take his first official visit anywhere else.
Okay.
Now, how you want to take that and understand it or read between the lines with it, you know, that's between you and him. But
how did you read it?
I think that Ole Miss is going to play a factor in his recruitment, but I wouldn't necessarily say that anybody has the lead right now, especially being a 2020 kid. He has plenty of time, and he's so not one
he
of those.
He will sign when?
That is a good question.
He could sign as early as?
I believe, wouldn't that be next year? Early next year.
Okay.
The basketball thing is weird because you've got 2020 kids taking official visits right now.
So he could sign in April?
I believe so.
Okay.
And the difference between basketball and football is in 2020, the class of 2020 in football right now, they can only take unofficial visits until the spring. And then in football, and in basketball, they can take official visits now. So they were trying to decide on whether or not they wanted to bring this guard in from Alabama, the 2020 Austin Harvell is how you say his name.
Yes.
They were trying to debate on whether or not they wanted to make it an official or not. And it seems that currently that's going to remain an unofficial visit at this time, at least. And then going back to Tyrell Jones, the guard from Florida, him not pulling the trigger on Auburn kind of shows you how interested in Ole Miss he is. I wouldn't say that, you know, maybe Ole Miss was one of his top schools before his visit to Auburn or anything like that. But there was pressure on him when he was leaving the Plains on either Sunday or Saturday night. There was pressure on him to pull the trigger and commit and end his recruitment, similar to what there was when Austin Crowley made the decision to commit to Vanderbilt. Now Crowley's stock has risen quite a bit since that Vanderbilt commitment. And Vanderbilt's still in on several of the other targets that Ole Miss is in on. So that's going to be interesting to see going forward. As well as, you know, as we talked about last week, are Kermit Davis and his staff going to be able to, you know, close the deal on some of these kids? Because, you know, it's one thing to get them on campus. It's one thing to get DJ Jeffries, Chandler Lawson, and these other guards and forwards on campus. It's another thing to actually be able to seal the deal and sign them, get their letter of intent, and go from there.
So, I know this isn't fair, but I'm going to do it anyway. If you had to bet today, which of those guys that you just mentioned, of all the names we just said, which can mean one or all or anything in between, of those guys do you think end up signing with Ole Miss?
I would be very, very confident in my pick of Duke Collum.
Okay.
I'd be hesitant, but right now I would put Chandler Lawson in the 40% category.
Okay.
40%, yeah, that'd be good. Brakefield probably 35% because it's so early and you have such a while. And then you get to the lower percentages with DJ Jeffries. I'd give them maybe I don't know. There's really I don't see a scenario where Ole Miss signs DJ Jeffries right now.
Okay,
they can say the right things and you know he can say the right things, but it just doesn't seem like it. It seems like it's Memphis or Mississippi State. And there's going to be one more push from Penny Hardaway, of course, before he makes any type of decision. Now, going into Tyrell Jones, as of right now, you know, you still can't tell if it's just a post-visit bump or if Auburn really did take the lead in his recruitment. So you're going to have to give me until this time next week before I assess that one.
Okay. I know there were a ton of football guys that came in. We had Tyler Siski on the Oxford Exxon podcast on Wednesday. We're taping this on Wednesday. You'll probably hear it on Thursday. I agree with his assessment on this, by the way. I asked the question, and I hated asking it because I think I already know the answer when I ask it, but there are differing opinions on this topic, and I wanted to get his thoughts, and I know it's what fans wonder. When a game goes that sideways that fast, does it impact recruiting? Some people think, you know, oh, man, a kid sees that and he's like, I'm not going there. And some people think a kid sees that and goes, man, I could play there right away. I don't ever think it really impacts recruiting. I just don't think one game impacts recruiting. I never have. And I could be wrong. I'm wrong a lot. I could be wrong on that too. I just don't. I think recruiting is so much about relationships and feel. And then I think it's about, with elite prospects, it's about, can you put me in the league?
Put you on the league and put you on the field.
Yeah, I want to get on the field. I want to get to the league. I want to get to the league quickly. The whole win championships and stuff. You tell me whether you disagree with this or whether you kind of disagree or kind of agree or whatever. I don't care. Don't hurt my feelings. I don't really think when kids talk about, man, I want to go someplace where I can win championships. I don't hear that much, number one. And when I do hear it, I sometimes think it's just kind of lip service. I think really what they want to do, they want to go someplace where they're comfortable, where they like the people they're playing for, where there is a pattern of development, where they can look into the league on Sunday, and when they watch the Titans or the Texans or the Patriots or the Packers or the Seahawks or the Bears or the Browns or the Falcons or whoever, they see dudes from that school at that position in the league. It's one of the people who go, why does LSU get wide receivers? Well, Odell Beckham, yeah. Jarvis Landry. That's why.
Yeah.
That's why Ole Miss, that's why LSU gets wide receivers, even though they never have a quarterback. Well, they've produced wide receivers, and so kid goes on his visit to Baton Rouge. He's walking around. And lo and behold, there's a picture of Odell Beckham in a LSU jersey, and then there's a picture of Odell Beckham in a Giants jersey, and there's a conveniently placed news clipping about Odell Beckham being the highest paid wide receiver in the game, and these kids can connect those dots. And so I don't think, long story short, I don't think kids watch Ole Miss get smoked by Alabama and go, man, there's no way. I'm not going there. I don't think it's that simple. Yet, I also don't think that the atmosphere in the second half was particularly good for Ole Miss, and it's something that they might have to overcome. I asked Tyler about it. He kind of agrees with me. He doesn't think it was good or bad. He thinks it's one game. It's week three. Kids are more interested in your body of work and the things that I just mentioned than – his point was he doesn't think that a kid is going to say, man, I really like, for example, I really like Ole Miss. I really like it. I like the coaches. I like everything about it. But, man, you guys, y'all got beat by 55 by Alabama. I can't do it. In week three, I can't do it. And I think he's right.
Right. Yeah, I can agree with that. Getting the reactions as soon as the game ended, you know, at first, you know, quite a bit of them were on the negative side, and a lot of kids left early. You know, a lot of people will say it was because of the heat, but I mean, everybody else was leaving. The stadium was emptying. There was really, it was probably better for them not to see that atmosphere in the second half than it was for them to see, you know, a half full. Basically, it turned into a home game for Alabama in the second half, almost as if it was the end part of a spring game with the amount of talent that Alabama had on the field with their third and fourth string. I do agree with you with what you're talking about with, winning championships. I don't see that very much in interviews. I don't even hear that much from kids anymore. It's more about making them feel like home. It's more about getting them on the field early. It's about academics. It's about, can I enroll early? Will I be able to get to the league? Like you were saying, those are the main factors that go into these recruits' decisions. It's far more than it is about, you know, will I win a national championship? Now, when they commit to Alabama or when they commit to Ohio State, will they probably get a kind of a nudge from the coaching staff to mention that they want to win championships in their interviews?
Yeah.
You're damn right they will.
It's like in Alabama, they used to hear, you'd hear a lot of kids always when they committed to Alabama would say, man, it's just this tradition. It's the tradition. And I always thought, you are being asked to say that.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like up north, that's what Ohio State and Penn State, when kids would commit there, that's what you would hear as the reasoning as to why they were doing that. It wasn't about the fit or the scheme or anything like that. It was about, that's what they would say. They would say it was about tradition and, oh, I want to wear that blue and white. You would hear that kind of stuff and you would know that was not actually the recruit's opinion on the situation. It was more being fed to them.
Yeah, I don't know. And again, I'm not going to make this about my daughter, I promise. What I witnessed from going to several college visits is it's just feel. it's so much of it is feel, comfort, feel. I like the way this feels.
But now you are going on an official visit this weekend.
Yeah, this is probably like, well, yeah, it's kind of like an official visit. She's taken multiple unofficial visits. I don't know whether this is an unofficial visit again or no one's paying for it. So it's a damn unofficial visit. It's what it is. Anyway, all right, let's get to some questions. First, from Sinquez Pick, what player in this state, which I would assume will mean Mississippi, do you feel is much better than their recruiting ranking?
You have to start with Snoop Connor, the quarterback/running back from Hattiesburg, who is playing quarterback there but will play running back at the next level. He's currently ranked the number 37 player in the state of Mississippi. And for somebody on as good of a team as Hattiesburg is, as much of an impact as he's made both on the team and on the season, they're likely going to be in the state title game in Hattiesburg and come December. His recruitment is something to keep an eye on. Whether or not Ole Miss gets back in there is still up for debate. It depends on what happens with their other running back targets. You're hearing more and more they're going to take two at that position. Two other ones that really came to mind when I first saw this question were De'Andre Prince, the cornerback from Charleston, who is as raw as can be, and then the linebacker, Ashanti Seastrunk from Louisville, who has really developed and he's grown into from being recruited as what is their safety package called?
Like the star?
Yeah, that's what they wanted him as at first, and he's grown and grown to the point to where he's probably going to play outside linebacker.
Linebacker, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, they could use some of those. Speaking of, WF Brown 10 asks, who are the most likely DL and LB, meaning linebacker, signees? Please review any JUCO DL and linebacker targets.
So we'll start with the JUCO targets. A name I've heard recently who hasn't picked up an offer yet, but they're evaluating, is Caleb Johnson from a JUCO out in California. He's heard from several schools lately. He's currently committed to Iowa State. That JUCO kids normally make those type of early commitments kind of to secure a spot, especially with somebody, you know, playing all the way out in California, committing to Iowa State. He probably took a visit there, fell in love with everything, and that was that. Now, whether or not they're going to pull the trigger on an offer for him is something that, you know, hasn't been determined yet. I know that they were in the process of evaluating him earlier this week, but nothing has been said since then. Nothing has been done since then. And then on the defensive line, East Mississippi, the number one JUCO team in the country, you've heard that several times. Their defensive line is stacked, and that starts with Kane Taylor. Kane Taylor is somebody who has picked up quite a bit of Power 5 interest since the season started. And, you know, kind of as the season progresses, his offer list is going to get bigger, and there's going to become a time where Ole Miss is going to have to decide whether or not they're going to pull the trigger on an offer. Now getting to the other linebacker targets and defensive line targets, this became, you know, quite a topic the past, I don't even know, how long has it been since Ole Miss has been good at linebacker?
Good at it?
Yeah.
They were good at it when I was since I've been on the beat. I mean, they've had good linebackers. Sardarius Bryant was a very good college linebacker. Denzel Kimdichie, before some of his drug issues, was a very good college linebacker. Mike Mary was a good college linebacker. You don't have to have NFL superstars running out there. I mean, you just have to have some guys that can play.
Right.
Joel Kite was a very solid college linebacker. Jonathan Cornell, when I first started, a kid from California, was a good college linebacker, not great but good. I mean, Tony Fine was a solid college linebacker.
How many years back are we at right now?
We're back 8, 9, 10 years, and then 5, 6 years. Denzel Kimdichie's last productive year was 2012, probably.
Okay. That was the year before his brother signed.
Yes. And then Denzel started having injury/substance issues in 13. But since then, I mean, I'm trying to think, like, you know, I mean, DeMarcus Gates was a very good college linebacker.
That is true.
You have to have a bunch of them. It's the thing. I mean, you know, like I watched Alabama the other day. I mean, there's like 9 or 10 of those dudes.
Exactly. And I think that's kind of what's gotten into the recruitment of N'Kobe Dean. I know we've strayed far from the question, but the expectations that Ole Miss fans have for N'Kobe Dean would never get met if he stepped foot on this campus. You agree?
Say that again so I can really focus in on the words before I get killed.
The expectations that Ole Miss fans have set for N'Kobe Dean would never get met if he showed up on the campus.
Well, the expectations are that he'd step in day one as an impact starter.
Yeah, and that he would change the face of the defense.
Right, and no one player, unless your name is Khalil Mack, changes the face of a defense. He has changed the face of a defense.
Yes, he has. And there are those kind of players. You know,
look, Dean's really good.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to be the guy that minimizes the N'Kobe Dean loss if they lose him.
Right.
It's a major loss.
It is a major loss.
It is a significant loss that speaks volumes to where the program reputation, from a reputation standpoint with kids, would have fallen. There's no way around that. In many ways, the same ways as the loss of Cam Akers reflected the state of the program at the time. It did. It reflected that there were warning signs.
Yeah.
And the fact that Cam Akers is not having an incredible college career does not change that. People try to change. Well, in hindsight, that's not the way it works. Is losing N'Kobe Dean the end of the world? Of course not. Is it a loss? It absolutely is. What significance would signing N'Kobe Dean have? It would be significant. It would be a giant vote of approval for Matt Luke, for whoever the defensive coordinator is in December. And no, I don't think it will be Wesley McGriff. I don't. I'll say that on the record. I'm not going to dance around other people dancing around. And I understand. If I were smart, I would dance around this. I don't see a scenario where Wesley McGriff is still the defensive coordinator at Ole Miss the Monday after Thanksgiving.
I agree 100%.
If he is, it will be because they had a massive turnaround here over the next 9 weeks or so, 9.5 weeks. We're taping this on September the 19th. Ole Miss plays Mississippi State on November the 20-something. So we're talking just over two-plus months. So it would be a major vote of confidence for them, and it would be a tremendous boost in their efforts to recruit other Mississippi kids and to recruit other highly ranked kids. And to have N'Kobe Dean on campus next year as a freshman helping to recruit the class of 2020 would be significant.
It would be, yes.
You know, can he ever live up to the expectations that Ole Miss fans would have of him? Probably not, but that happens everywhere.
Right.
You know.
Although I don't think his expectations were he to end up at Georgia would be nearly as high or far-fetched.
No, there's no question about that. Now, you know, and this is where we get into that discussion that we had about DJ Jeffries,
yeah.
At one point, I don't know N'Kobe Dean.
Right.
You do. I don't. I'm sure he's, from everything I've heard, he's a very bright, thoughtful young man, and he is his mom's done a great job with him, and he's a great kid.
Yeah. That's...
Now I don't know what makes him tick, and the following is not a criticism one way or the other, because there's no right or wrong answer. Is he the kid that says to himself, okay, if I go to Ole Miss, I might not win as big as I'd win at Georgia or Alabama. Or in fact, I almost certainly won't, at least early in my career. But I have a better chance of leaving a legacy that goes beyond football. The answer to that question is yes. Now, does that mean anything to him? I don't know. And if it doesn't, that's okay. When I was 17, 18 years old, I wasn't thinking about my legacy. Hell, I'm 48, and I don't think about my legacy. Is he the guy that is pretty focused on all these schools are good. Georgia's a great school. Alabama's a great school. Ole Miss is a great school. You're going to get a degree from all those places. It's a solid degree. Or is he more focused on, I want to play in the NFL. I want to play in the NFL preferably in 3 years. And I know by watching the track records at Alabama and at Georgia that they have created a program, if you will, that is going to get me there faster, and I'm going to take that path. Some people say that's the easy. Stop. It's not the easy. It's the proven path. Do you go proven or do you go unproven? And I don't know the answer to any of those questions. And for Ole Miss, they've got to figure out whether they can get back in the game with him. And oftentimes, you can get back in the game very quickly, and whether those sales points work. Do you want to go someplace where, yes, there's more pressure on you, but with that pressure comes opportunity to be special. I'll give you an example. Romero Miller. I use this one all the time. Romero Miller did not have a long, distinguished NFL career. Yet, he had a very good college career. Didn't win a championship at Ole Miss. And Romero Miller's Mount Rushmore, in some ways, of Ole Miss. He's beloved. I mean, when Romero Miller walks on campus, people 20 years later know him. You know what I mean? I think he would tell you today that's valuable. I don't know whether he would have told you that 20 years ago that mattered. I don't know the answer to any of that. It's the fascinating part of kids like N'Kobe Dean when they make recruiting decisions. You're a 17/18-year-old kid making a decision that will have potential ramifications one way or the other for decades.
Yeah, you basically said everything that, you know, N'Kobe Dean has going through his mind. And then, you know, you also throw in the fact that his brother's on the team at Ole Miss, and they've done that. He's walked on. I'm not sure if he's traveling with them to road games or you know how that's going, but they've added that avenue in an effort to advance their efforts with him, I guess is a good way to put it. Now, you know, with him taking, well, he's going to visit Georgia in October, and that was at one point thought to be an official visit. And now that's going to be an unofficial visit, which they've been able to convince him and his family of. And with that, he's going to take an official visit to Georgia in late November. Obviously, all of that depends on when Horn Lake gets knocked out of the playoffs, if they're in the state championship, all that stuff. But it could be because between the state playoffs, the Mississippi-Alabama game, and recruiting visits, November is going to be hell for that family.
I know we asked. It's starting to really sound like Georgia, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. And I get it. I get it. I mean, the people that will criticize that decision, if that's what he makes, you're not being fair.
Right.
I totally understand that decision. You're going to play at a program that is a nationally elite program right now. It's probably the second best program in the country today, and it's very close to number one. And they produce players. Athens is cool. Kirby Smart has produced a ton of NFL players as a defensive coach at Alabama and now at Georgia. I get it.
Yeah, I mean,
100% get it.
The number one thing that Georgia can sell that Ole Miss can't is Roquan Smith.
Oh, there's no doubt.
They have almost the exact same measurables, the same 40 time, at least laser. That these comparisons, they mean something to these kids. And when you go into a room, like you were talking about with Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry, when you go into a room and you see a big picture of Roquan Smith in a Georgia jersey.
And then in a Bears uniform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you see the contract he signed that he held out to get.
Yeah. And he was, the sixth pick in the draft or something like that. I mean, it's significant. Yes.
That plays a factor.
It's why for Ole Miss, it's not a coincidence that they're recruiting wide receivers the way that they are.
Exactly.
It's easy to do.
Yeah.
Here's Laquan Treadwell, and here's Dante Moncrief, and here's A.J. Brown, and here's D.K. Metcalf, and you can be next.
Exactly.
It's easy to sell that. It's going in and it's going to a car dealership. Are you more likely to buy the car that you get to look at and test drive? Or are you more likely to buy the car that they tell you, man, this car's coming? Oh, man, and it's awesome.
Yeah, I mean.
It's awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I see it? No, you can't see it.
You can't see it yet.
I can show you a picture of it, mm-hmm. a drawing, but we hadn't made it yet.
Yeah.
But it's awesome. And you know what? It might be.
And see, that's the problem.
But that's hard. Sometimes it's hard to get the guy to buy that.
Yeah, it's hard to build something when you're known exactly for not doing it. Like for a team that's known currently for being so hit or miss when it comes to recruiting defensively, it's going to be hard to build the reputation that they aren't and that they can land these targets that they've missed on for so many years, especially in state.
All right, JReezy23 wants to know how many SEC caliber defensive players are currently committed.
See, that's you. If you go through the athletes, the defensive linemen, the linebackers, I believe I counted 7, but I'm not going to name all of them because that would kind of leave out some of the other ones.
Right.
I'll name 3, and that would be AJ Finley, the safety from Mobile, Patrick Lucas, the defensive tackle from Wetumpka, Alabama, and Ashanti Seastrunk, the linebacker from Louisville, who I really, really like, especially now that he's grown enough that he's going to play linebacker. He's got the chance to at least compete for reps next year, and they need that. They need the added depth that's going to come at the linebacker position with who they sign, and Seastrunk will fill that depth need. Now, will he fill the talent need and the ability to compete in the SEC right away need? That's still up for debate.
Does Chad Kelly's brother, I think it's Caleb?
Casey.
That's close. Does Chad Kelly's brother have any D1 interests?
It doesn't seem like that right now. I could see him taking a path similar to the one Kalen Newton did, who is Cam's brother, who, you know, Cam had his own off-the-field issues and all of that at Florida, and then, you know, going to Auburn and winning the way he did. I could see Casey doing a lot more likely to what Kalen did than what Chad or Cam could have done. I could see him, you know, ending up at an FCS school and, you know, being one of those guys who gets to play a Power 5 school or two every year in a payday game, and that's where he really gets his chance to showcase his talents. You know, transferring to the school he did in North Carolina surely didn't hurt his recruitment, but I haven't heard much as of late.
Mississippi boy in D.C. I think that means the District of Columbia. That's my guess.
I would hope.
He says, how far does this current staff plan to extend its recruiting boundaries in order to get decent college-level talent? How are recruiting efforts in places like California and Texas? I know that winning Mississippi and Memphis is a must, but what about places beyond the Southeast, such as Texas, the West Coast, and the Midwest? Being an SEC school, I would imagine we being Ole Miss, can pick off recruits from places like Arizona, Washington State, Maryland, Houston, etc.
Well, you know, the first thing that crossed my mind when he added Houston to this is Texas A&M. You've got these in-state schools.
And LSU.
That, yeah, exactly. Houston is prime Texas A&M and LSU territory. Texas A&M currently has quite a bit of momentum in the state from that game that they somehow still lost against Clemson.
They have momentum because Jimbo's really good.
Yeah, they have quite a bit of recruiting momentum for 2019, 2020, and beyond. Now, you know, you get into these other things. You know, he's Mississippi boy in D.C., so, you know, I'll kind of touch on the D.C. stuff, is that this District of Columbia has become prime Alabama territory. If there is a high four or a five-star recruit in that area that is SEC caliber, he's likely going to Alabama. And that's just how it goes. You've got Shane Lee, the linebacker who is almost identical from N'Kobe Dean. You've got him committed to Alabama currently. And they've had several other big-name guys from that area commit to Alabama. And that stretches out into Virginia and Maryland. That whole pocket has become Alabama territory for the highly talented, the ones that are better than Maryland, Rutgers, you know, Penn State. They're better than those schools. No offense to them, but that's what happens with that. And then in California, you know, you still got Daniel Humuli on the board at linebacker, and you signed Matt Corral at quarterback last year, but you really don't want to spend too much time recruiting the state of California. Now, I'm sure that, you know, that these Shark Tank employees that Ole Miss has hired and brought in for the recruiting staff, I'm sure that they are assigned certain states for certain people, and they are in charge of either evaluating or finding kids or talking to kids or something like that. But to take time away from recruiting Mississippi, Louisiana, Alabama, parts of Texas, even including Houston, where Miles Battle came from last year, you can't take away time from those states to head to California, to head to Washington State. I mean, if any kid is good in Washington State, he's either going to go to Alabama, Washington, USC, or possibly Washington State if there's some catastrophe going on in his recruitment.
So you've cut out the lattes, you've put in those Curly Q light bulbs, and you've brown bagged your lunch to work, but it still feels like payday keeps getting here a day or two late and a few $100 short. We'll try this. Give State Farm agent Wally Morgan a call and tell him you'd like a free discount double check. It's a line-by-line review of your car insurance policy to make sure you're getting the discounts you deserve, like 10% for being a good driver, another 10% if your teenage driver happens to be a good student, and 17% for simply combining your car and home policies. Add all those State Farm discounts up, and it's pretty easy to see how you could be saving hundreds of dollars a year. So get started today by giving State Farm agent Wally Morgan in New Albany, Mississippi, a call at 662-539-7062. Because being there to help keep more of your money in your pocket is why he's here. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Discounts may vary state to state. All right, back to some of the questions. Let's see, where are we? Okay. We touched on this, so we'll be quick. Defensive staff changes seem like a certainty. This is just us Rebs. What impact, good or bad, will that have on some of Ole Miss's already committed and prospective targets?
There are some that, you know, have relationships with McGriff, and there are some who don't know who he is. So whether or not someone falls into that category is a little bit trivial, especially at this point. But with McGriff, the primary recruiting territory for him has been Georgia and Florida. You don't have any defensive players from the state of Georgia committed. You have, I believe, three offensive linemen who they probably know who McGriff is because he went and saw their school, likely him or Charles Clark. But if you keep Charles Clark on the staff, that's really going to soften the blow in both Georgia and Florida. Now, the only two kids who you might have to do some making up with would be Cortez Andrews, the safety who seems to not be able to find his way to Oxford. He said he's visiting at least five times and hasn't showed up yet, so I really don't consider him realistic. And then the defensive end from Cardinal Gibbons and Chris Bogle, who is headed to Tennessee this weekend, and it seems more and more likely that he's going to end up at Tennessee or Miami before it does Ole Miss.
Okay. How do you feel about major flip candidates? We'll just go through these quickly. Byron Young?
Better than I did last week.
Brandon Turnage.
Worse than I did last week.
Zion Logue.
Yeah, about the same.
Bill Norton.
Better than I did last week.
Jamon Gordon.
Better than I did last week.
And Jaron Handy.
I don't see that as a possible flip right now.
Okay. I talked to someone yesterday. Believe it or not, I actually talked to someone about recruiting yesterday for a minute.
Did you?
I did.
Did they call the wrong number?
No, they wanted to talk to me. I know that's shocking that somebody would actually want to talk to me. It shocks me at times, but it was true. Fred Peters being recruited as a safety or a linebacker. I can tell you this, Ole Miss really likes this guy.
They do. They really like Fred Peters.
A lot.
He was somebody who they had come close to offering in the past. And, you know, they decided to take Haynes, and then they wanted to reassess their safety situation in mid-September. And now look where we are. It's mid-September, and the offer just went out. Now, getting him on campus will be paramount because Mississippi State was thought to have become the leader while he was kind of waiting to see if Ole Miss was going to offer. He is a safety at the next level. He is under 6 foot and he's fast, but he's not a linebacker.
Okay. Marquez Bimbri.
He's not currently on the board.
Okay. Some of this is sarcastic. Are linebackers coming? Yes. Are they going to sign a running back?
They better.
Yeah.
I mean, Jerry and Ely's committed.
And yeah, yeah,
the situation there, everybody knows what's going on there. And
you
then,
think they're getting Gray?
Yes.
Okay.
I think they're getting Gray, and I think they're going to take a JUCO running back as well. Whether that's Kareem Walker, the former Michigan running back, Deion McIntosh, the former Notre Dame running back now at East, or Terrion Avery, the running back at Gulf Coast, you know, it's going to be an evaluation. Yeah.
I'd sign Gray and two of those JUCOs.
Exactly. You need speed in the backfield.
Or at least sign Gray, a JUCO, and another running back.
You'd sign three.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they got one on campus.
That's true.
God, that's mean, man. I hate doing stuff like that, but it's true. If I'm evaluating what I've got on campus, I've got one, and he's got 1 year of eligibility left.
Right. I was going to say, because he's done after next year.
Yeah.
So they better sign at least one or two. Or maybe three, like you said.
One of the other kids, I mean, Willard's a great kid, and I really like him. He's a nice kid. I mean, I like him. I hope he does well. I hope he proves me wrong. I would love to eat the crow.
Right.
Because there's no crow. I like Isaiah Willard, the human being.
Yeah, he overcame quite a bit of obstacles and all of that.
He's a great kid. Yeah. I want him to do well. There's no cheering against it. I don't know from what I've seen that he has the speed to play effectively in the SEC as an every down back.
Yes, I agree.
If you tell me that he's a guy that really contributes on special teams for 4 years and busts his ass and ends up being one of the really popular players in the program, I buy it. If you're asking me, do I think he has the speed to be an elite SEC running back, I don't. I hope he proves me wrong. He would be a great story.
He would be.
So I hope I make that clear. I'm not. When I say things like that, I always feel bad. And I don't want to be the sugarcoat guy that goes, man, all these kids, man, bigger, stronger, faster. I mean, man, all of them, they're all great. Well, if they're all great, then why are they struggling?
Yes.
They're not all great.
Right.
Doesn't mean they're not good people.
Yeah.
I mean, I was not a good football player. Hopefully that will not reflect on me as a person.
I'm curious to see what they do with Armani Linton with the new depth issues at defensive back. Did he practice it at running back yesterday?
I don't know.
That's definitely something to keep an eye on, especially with same with Tylan Knight. You know, he's obviously playing running back. He's not getting many carries. You could start to see him maybe end up in the slot or, you know, possibly flipping over to defense. But, you know, I was very vocal last week how I feel about these position changes and how it really impacts and slows down the development of these prospects, especially when you're signing 2 stars and 3 stars. You have to develop them at one position. You can't sign a corner and say, you know what, you might be better at safety halfway through your sophomore year and switch it. It harms them. It maybe gives you depth at a position where you're injured, but other than that, nothing's really happening, positively at least.
Lentz and Little PA is Central and South Mississippi's law firm that you want to hire for business advice and commercial litigation. Whether you're having trouble paying your debts or someone isn't paying you what they agreed to pay, Lentz and Little can quickly advise you of your best course of action. Lentz and Little has more than 60 years of collective experience representing companies and individuals in defaulted loan workouts, collections, repossessions, and foreclosures, representing banks as well as companies having financial difficulties. Lentz and Little offers creative solutions to financial problems. Attorneys at Lentz and Little have the versatility you need, regardless of whether you need help with general business advice, issues with payment of taxes, or representation in state court, federal court, or bankruptcy court. If you're in need of advice or assistance with your financial situation, call Jarrett Little at 228-867-6050. Visit their website at lentzlittle.com or email Jarrett at lentzlittle.com. All right, last few minutes here because we're almost 54 minutes into the podcast. what kind of splash defensive coordinator hire would it take to get Dean and top defensive Mississippi recruits either reinterested or swing momentum in the favor? I don't know that
any hire is going to, you know, blow his mind unless you hire somebody who is on a staff that is actively recruiting him and, you know, probably one of the leaders.
Coaching staff as recruiters versus the rest of the SEC, no names, the staff as a whole.
I'd say they're somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not too high, not too low.
Who's the player or players that you think the staff is wasting their time trying to sign?
Nathan Pickering, Jaron Handy, and Maurice Hampton.
Okay.
Hampton more so because of the baseball factor that he's grown into and the fact that he played with, is it Dolans? Or Doolins?
Doolins.
Doolins, yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah.
Yeah, and Hampton, I know a little bit about him from some people there. The baseball staff at Ole Miss, I don't think, has recruited him very hard. I don't think they're particularly overly interested, and I think he knows that.
Yeah.
And then I also think that he's curious. He's more curious about Major League Baseball than people think.
He's very curious.
And he probably – don't be surprised if he kind of takes the A.J. Brown route.
Yeah.
Where he signs professional baseball but plays college football and figures out a way to kind of do both for a little while. His deal – that's why I'm not criticizing Ole Miss here. I think Ole Miss knows you might be wasting your time with him as a college baseball prospect.
Yeah. I can agree with that.
Cuckoo Koo wants to know which Ole Miss recruits are liable to flip to other schools if the Rebels pull a 5-7 or worse record.
I tell you, he is an interesting character on the board.
He's not happy.
No. I would start with Tisdale, the quarterback. And then you kind of get into the in-state kids because as much as Ole Miss struggled last week, I mean, Mississippi State was playing Louisiana Lafayette, but they've looked really good so far this season, and they're going to get
– State has two huge home games coming up from an atmosphere standpoint against Florida, against Auburn, where it's going to be a real showcase for them.
It will be.
And it's going to be exciting for kids, and State's 14th in the country, and assuming they beat Kentucky this weekend – and I think they will.
Yeah, I think they beat Kentucky and Florida.
I do too. The Florida game will be electric.
Yes.
And if they beat Florida, and I think they will, the Auburn game will be even more electric.
Yeah.
And if they win that game, the truth is, as much as people around Oxford hate it, they will go into the middle part of the month of October as a top 5 or 6 national team.
Yeah, and with that strength of schedule, they'll probably be in the playoff picture.
Very much in the playoff picture as they get ready for their date with, with LSU and then potentially with Alabama.
Yeah.
Where they could be back in that top 3 or 4 when they go to Tuscaloosa in November. And there's a lot of ifs there.
There are, yeah.
But it's certainly potential, what you're building to, that they have a tremendous amount of in-state momentum with kids because of the atmosphere and the type of season that they're having and that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And several of the Ole Miss commits are going to be at that Florida game next weekend that you just talked about. And being there, you know, it may not sound like it's much, but we've seen what happens when other recruits committed or targets go to Starkville just before announcing some type of decision with Dennis Jackson doing that earlier in the spring before flipping to Ole Miss later in the summer. So, yeah, you could say that's exactly what is coming. Mississippi State's going to gain momentum. Some of the kids that may be committed to out-of-state schools currently, those kids are going to flip, and it's either going to be to Ole Miss or Mississippi State. And does it depend strictly on the on-the-field product? No. But if Ole Miss is 5-7 and Mississippi State's 10-2, hell yeah, that's going to make a difference.
It will certainly be a factor.
Yes.
No question. Yeah. It will be a factor that Ole Miss will have to overcome.
Exactly.
Derek Hall, where's he on the board? Any interest there?
Derek Hall is still pretty high up on the board. Auburn's led for quite some time. And really, it seems as if there's just a waiting game taking place, or if he just wants to take his visits before committing because Auburn won't let him, or I don't know what it is, but Auburn leads, and it's a pretty substantial lead, and he plans on visiting for the Auburn game. So you really don't understand exactly why. I'd put him possibly in the wasting their time recruiting, at least right now. It would be Derek Hall, who blew up this offseason.
A lot of questions about Memphis recruiting. I'll put them all into one. Is there anybody out there who could make an impact on Memphis recruiting? There's someone who comes to mind immediately in my mind.
Who would that be?
I'm trying to decide whether I really want to say this out loud. I think Marcus Woodson could have some impact on North Mississippi / Memphis recruiting.
Oh, he'd have an almost instant impact. Between him and my take was hiring a high school coach from the Memphis ranks and putting him as an on-the-field coach at a position such as tight ends coach, which would be really ironic because that would be Rodney Salisbury, who is Whitehaven's head coach currently. He has several inroads and would be able to create relationships that were broken and lost in the past several years.
Anything about Jacoby Criswell or Radarius Jones?
I put my, was it Futurecast or Forecast or whatever it is, I put that in for both of them recently for Ole Miss. Jacoby Criswell is a 2020 quarterback who was planning on coming this weekend for the Kent State game and bringing his family, but has decided to hold off. His mom can't make the trip, and to be honest, he probably wants to see a better atmosphere than Ole Miss versus Kent State, and he wants to come to a bit of a bigger game. And then Radarius Jones with the family factor there. I found out over the weekend he's got family that are students at Ole Miss. He's up here far more as a just being here than he is as a football recruit, which I think is interesting as well. And I think that pays off as in the end.
It's pretty good. I don't know whether you know this or not. You're our guest tomorrow night at Funky's. We're going to talk some recruiting.
I did not.
Well, now you do.
That is great.
You are the special guest, following in a long line of prestigious guests. And
Ben Craddock.
I know. Romero Miller. Dave Womack. Now the one and only Russell Johnson. You could even wear green if you'd like. It's up to you. We have no rule against green.
We shall see. That'll be a good show, definitely.
So we'll talk some recruiting. Let some people meet the great Russell Johnson. That's more than an hour of almost all recruiting. I expect to get props from people. I didn't steer it towards the NBA at any point. I didn't ask Russell about the Braves, if he's worried about the Braves all of a sudden.
No, I'm worried.
You shouldn't be worried. They're fine. Magic number 7.
Yeah.
With the week and a half to go, you're good.
We don't
want to get swept by the Phillies.
No. We don't want to get swept in back-to-back series with the Nationals and the Cardinals either.
No, I don't think the Nationals are with it enough to sweep. Have you seen Bryce Harper's numbers post-All-Star game?
No.
Oh, they're phenomenal.
You're salivating.
Yes. Bryce Harper has been liking Cub tweets and Instagram stuff. He hits the like button. It's fascinating. I'll say this again about Bryce Harper. It's the truth. You know me now well enough to know that this is true. Bryce Harper is fast becoming my very favorite athlete because he's either going to be a Cub and is basically telling everybody I'm going to be a Cub, or it's a fantastic troll job. And even though I'm the victim of that troll job, I respect it.
Yeah, you would be pretty bummed if he signed elsewhere.
But I'll get a kick out of it. If it turns out that Bryce Harper never even thought about the Chicago Cubs, I'm going to laugh at a 2-year troll job. It was great. I mean, because it worked.
Right, it did, and it probably drive up the salary he gets too.
I think.
So will his second half numbers you were mentioning.
He's just so good. I mean, it's so funny to watch Cub fans do the, well, we need pitching. We don't need Bryce Harper. It's like, stop. In what world would Bryce Harper not help your lineup?
Every team in baseball can use Bryce Harper.
I mean, imagine a lineup, seriously, of whoever the hell leading off, followed by Bryant, followed by so the 2016 MVP, followed by Bryce Harper, who's won, what, two MVPs?
I believe so.
Followed by Rizzo, followed by a guy who is going to finish in the top three for the 2018 MVP in Javier Baez.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
And that's before you even get to Zobrist and Schwarber and people like that. And the whole, well, you'd have to get rid of Albert Almora. Oh, okay.
Bye.
See ya. Or you might have to trade Ian Happ. Okay.
Bye. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, okay.
Yeah.
I get it that you might have to move. Well, Jason Hayward would have to play center field. Okay.
He's fully capable.
I mean, Harper's playing center field in Washington half the time because of Soto.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'll tell you this. Nationals and Braves this weekend, is that right? Or are they done?
Phillies, Braves.
Okay, Phillies, Braves. If you watch the Nationals,
they played them over the weekend.
If you watch the Nationals, watch Soto. My God, he's good. And if you watch the Braves, watch Ronald Acuna Jr., who is phenomenal. Both of those young players are going to win MVP. Assuming they stay healthy, both of those players in their 20s will each win at least one MVP award.
It's going to be fun watching them go at it for years.
They're both just immensely talented. They're fun to watch.
Yeah. And
I hated for Colorado about Story. Man, that's brutal.
Yeah.
That's brutal. You go all year. You don't want to see that happen.
No.
That's brutal. Okay. Well, we'll wrap there. We're an hour and five in. Hope you enjoyed it. Our thanks again to Russell Johnson, to the people at Billy's Pecans. Seriously, check out their products. It's billyspecans.com, B-I-L-L-I-E-S, pecans.com. Product is great. You'll love it. If you think about corporate gifting, it's a great way to do it. Hostess gifts, thank you gifts, stuff like that. A phenomenal product. It really is. It's great. Give it a try. At least get some samples. Give it a shot. I think you'll go back for and make them a bigger part of what you do. For Russell, I'm Neil. Talk to you next week.